Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Ksubas Daf Samach, and today's shiur is going to be all about May Nekes, all about the responsibilities of a woman to nurse her child. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lizech Anishas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha, Alei Shalom, and Shem Shav and Aliyah. We thank him very much for the continued sponsorship of the daf. So we left off at the two dots, the last three words on the page, on daf nun tesun beis, and we're going to discuss first is going to be, at what age do we assume that a child recognizes his mother and therefore won't nurse from anybody else, and therefore that increases the level of responsibility on the mother to nurse the child. Then the Gemara is going to discuss for how long a woman is supposed to nurse for, or is even allowed to nurse for. At some point, it becomes usur to continue nursing a child. It's considered to be inappropriate. Then the Gemara is going to have three different brisos in this context, where Rav Yosef paskins like a single Tana that's quoted in the brisa. The first one of those three is about the age at which a child should no longer nurse. So it quotes three different brisos, but the first one is relevant to our sugya. And the only commonality between all three brisos is that Rav Yosef paskins like the Tana that's quoted in all three brisos. Then the Gemara is going to talk about when may a menekes get remarried. If a woman is nursing a baby, can she go get married to somebody else, because there's a concern she can get married to someone else, she can get pregnant, she can stop nursing the baby, it's going to be dangerous for that baby. The Gemara is going to talk about, are there ever any exceptions? Are there any women that are allowed to get remarried within that time frame that normally a menekes would not be allowed to get remarried? What if the baby's dead already? What if she gave the baby over to a wet nurse? What if there are all sorts of reasons why maybe it wouldn't be such a concern anymore? Then the Gemara at the very end of the daf is going to discuss the various responsibilities of a wet nurse. That if a woman is hired to nurse children, what is she allowed to eat and not allowed to eat? What kind of nutrition does she have to make sure that she has, and other things as well to make sure that she's able to do her job? Is she allowed to take on other children to nurse as well? So we're going to discuss all of those things, Be'ez Hashem, at the very end of the daf. So now let's begin im hayamakira, the two dots, the last three words on the page, anun tesun beis. So we had said that the price had said that even if the woman is divorced from her husband, and therefore she has no responsibility anymore, it's not her responsibility to nurse the child, it's the husband's responsibility to support his children. But if the baby is already makira, the baby already recognizes the mother and won't nurse from anyone else, then the ex-husband has to pay her to nurse the child. But she then has to do it because for payment. She doesn't have to do it for free, she's got to do it for payment, but then she has to do it. So ad kam, to what point do we assume that the child is old enough to recognize the mother, and therefore the mother's going to have to nurse the child? So Amrav Yirmi Baraba, Amrav Shlosha Chadashim, up until the baby is 3 months old. Ushmol Amar Shloshim Yom, no, just 30 days old. Rav Yitzchak Amar Rav Yochanan Chamishim Yom, somewhere in between, not 3 months, not 30 days, 50 days old. Amar Rav Simon Bar Abaye, Halacha Rav Yitzchak, Shamar Shem Rav Yochanan, that we pass from like what Rav Yitzchak says, and the name Rav Yochanan, that the shear is Chamishim Yom, that it's in fact 50 days. The Ritva points out that the Gemara soon is going to quote a Maisa Rav, where Shmuel followed his own Shita, and not like where Rabbi Yochanan said of Chamishim Yom. Shmuel followed his own Shita, that it's in fact 30 days. And generally speaking, when we try to determine Psak Halacha, a Maisa Rav is a determinant in Psak Halacha, that if you have three different opinions in the Beis Medrash, but then you have on record that someone actually did Halacha the Maisa, like one of those opinions, that normally is going to determine for us that we paskin that way. So the Ritva points out, yes, normally that's the case, but not when the person himself, who was the Baal, the Baal Ashita, paskin that way in the Maisa. Then Maisa Rav is not a determinant. Maisa Rav is only a determinant when someone else paskined like one of the Shitos, Lamaisa, when someone else did like one of the Shitos Lamaisa. But when the Baal Ashita himself does like it Lamaisa, that's not a determinant in Maisa Rav, which is an interesting idea. It's not so possible that that's true. Meaning, why is it that Maisa Rav is a determinant? Yesh Ladim. One could say, because if you see that they were doing that way Lamaisa, then you know that that was the accepted opinion. In which case, the Ritva is 100% correct. That would only make sense if you see that other people were doing that way Halach Lamaisa. Or one could argue that it's very easy to say a Shita in the Beis Medrash. When you're arguing and learning, you don't have to have that much confidence that you're correct to suggest a shita in the Beis Medrash. But to actually suggest it halacha lemaisa, that takes a little bit more. To suggest a shita halacha lemaisa takes a little bit. There's a fascinating. In which case, by the way, the Ritva would not be correct, because even if the Baal Meimer himself was willing to not just say it, but he was willing to do it halacha lemaisa, that takes a little more confidence, and that maybe tells you that shita carries a little bit more weight. There's a fascinating tshuva in the Netziv where someone asked whether the shaila was about someone, a rav who had passed away, and he had left instructions that he did not want his shailas and tshuvas to be published. That even though his svarim were published, he didn't want his shailas and tshuvas to be published. So the shaila was, where they did they have to listen to him about it? But along the way, part of the discussion was about when you have a person who wrote Piskei Halacha, who wrote Shalos and Tshuvos, let's say, and he also wrote Chidushim in Learning. So which, and there are stiras between the two. So which one is more authoritative? For example, the Rush. The Rush wrote Tshuvos. The Rush wrote also in the back of the Gemara. The Rush has his Psakim that are not Shalos and Tshuvos. So which one is more authoritative? So there's a thought to suggest that the Rush had said, apparently there's a tradition that the Rush had said that his Psakim are more authoritative than his tshuvas. So the thought was, because when you write a tshuva, you don't get to set the agenda of what you're learning. It's whatever the shavuot asks. So I could be learning Maseches Ksubas now, but someone's going to ask me a question in Hilchos Shabbos, so I have to write a tshuva in Hilchos Shabbos, even though I'm not really holding in Hilchos Shabbos. So the tshuvas are not really the sugyas that I'm holding in. Whereas when I'm writing my chidushim, I'm writing on the actual sugyas that I'm holding in. So one could suggest such a svara that it's more that the chidushim that I write on the lima that I'm doing is more authoritative than the tshuvas. In fact, I once heard Rav Asher Weiss say that way. Rav Asher Weiss once said, if you ever find a stira between my tshuvas and my svarim, Minchas Asher on the mesechtas, probably the Minchas Asher on the mesechtas is more authoritative because I wrote those while I was really holding in the sugyas. That same svara. But the Nesiv says, no, you can't say such a thing because there's a certain siyata d'shmaya when it comes to psak halacha lemaisa. That when a person is passing halacha lemaisa, you have to assume that the Ribbono Shel Olam is giving a certain siyata d'shmaya to the posek, and therefore the psak halacha lemaisa in the tshuva is going to be more binding and more compelling than the psak in the svarim of chidushim. So maybe that's what it's all about when we say that a maisa rav really carries the day. That a maisa rav means that there's a certain siyata d'shmaya when you do something lemaisa, and you're not just saying something as a shita. But be that as it may, the Gemara paskins over here that, or Sim Bar Abaye paskins rather, that the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan, that 50 days old, the baby already recognized the mother, and therefore the baby cannot be expected to nurse from anyone else. So ask Gemara, Bish, Lama Rav, Rabbi Yochanan, I understand Rav Shita that it's 3 months, and Rabbi Yochanan Shita that it's 50 days. It's not even a stira. They're not even necessarily arguing. They're talking about different babies, different children at a different age can come to that to that recognition of the mother. El Shmuel, but Shmuel said 30 days. You ever find a baby that's 30 days old and already is going to know the difference between mommy and anybody else? It's impossible. So what's Shmuel based on? So Rami Bar Yecheskel Omar, don't accept those klali alachos that my brother Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel, not because he's lying, but Rabbi Yaakov Emden points out, because Shmuel himself was chozer on them. Why? Because Haki Omar Shmuel calls man Shemakira, that Shmuel in fact said that there is no specific shear. It's whenever the baby actually recognizes the mother. And if you see that the baby recognized the mother at a specific time, so then you know that the mother has a responsibility to continue to nurse that baby, even if the ex-husband has to pay her. But if the baby does not recognize the mother, then there's no responsibility. So says the Gemara, and we'll bring a raya from a Maisa Shahya. He does say the Kamei B'Shmuel. A woman came in front of Shmuel, and she didn't want to nurse the baby. Amalei the Rav Dimi Bar Yosef. So Shmuel said to Rav Dimi Bar Yosef, Zil Bodka, go and check if the baby recognizes the mother. So also Bedari Dinashe, they lined up a whole line of women, including the mother on the lineup. Vishakle Lebron, they took the baby and they started passing the baby down the line. They passed the baby from one woman to the next woman down the line. So Kimata Legaba, when they got to the mother, Havas Kamaspi Le'apa, the baby all of a sudden looked up toward the mother. The Rishonim already point out that the Lashon of here is a little bit Magumagum because it sounds like it was a boy baby from the story. Shakle Lebra, Dori Berich. You know, these Lashonos are clearly about a son, but Havas is feminine. So the Rush doesn't have the gear side, he just leaves out that word havas. The Rif has havya, the Shittim Gretza says hava, so you got to change it from the feminine somehow to a masculine. But either way, the baby, male or female, it doesn't really matter over here, the baby looks up at the mother, so kafshatini la'ena minei, so she tries to hide her eyes from the baby to try to avert her gaze so that maybe the baby won't recognize her. So Amalah, Rav Dimi Bar Yosef says to her, nitof inayich kum dari bereich, lift up your eyes and go take your child, because you have to nurse your child, since the child obviously recognizes you. That's how Rashi says. Shittim Gvetz understands, nitof inayich doesn't mean lift up your eyes, it means you should be cursed, your eyes should be fall out of your head or something like that, because she tried to look away from her own child. Suma minayada, says Gemara, so that works if the baby is not blind. But if you have a blind baby, how's the blind baby going to recognize his mother? So Ravashi berecho b'taima, from the smell and the taste of the milk, the baby will be able to recognize his mother. So now the Gemara goes on to how long a woman is allowed to or supposed to nurse for. Tan Rabban, Yonek Tinok Vaholech ad Esimbar Bal Chodesh. A Tinok should continue to nurse for 24 months. Mikan ve'ilach Yonek Sheketz. After 24 months, it's as if the Tinok is eating a davar mashuka. It's as if you're feeding non kosher food to the Tinok. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. That's Rabbi Eliezer Shita. That after 24 months, it's inappropriate. It's not considered to be a good thing to do. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Afilu Arba V'Chamish Shanim, even up until 4 or 5 years old. So Perish Liachar Esim Arba Chodesh V'Chazor Kionik Sheketz. But even Rabbi Yeshua agrees that if after 24 months old they pause and they put the baby on regular food, on a regular diet, and then let's say when the baby's 2.5 years old, they put him on a regular diet, and then at the age of 3.5, the mother wants to start nursing again, nursing that baby again. And then even Rabbi Yeshua, who thinks you can nurse to 4 or 5, holds that that's kionik sheketz. That's not appropriate. It's only if you consistently nurse throughout. But if you stop and then pick up again, you cannot stop after 24 months and then pick up again. So what Rabbi Lazar said in the Brisa Mikan ve'ilach kionik sheketz, that after 24 months, it's as if you're being yonik sheketz, it's as if you're feeding the baby non-kosher. Urimini, but I'll ask you a stira. You want to tell me chalavisha is non-kosher for a child over the age of 24 months old? Yeah, but I'll ask you a stira where we're going to see clearly the chalavisha is perfectly kosher, that there's nothing wrong with chalav from a human. Yachal yeh chalav mal cheshtayim tameh. One might think that chalav of a human being, mahal cheshtayim, is a reference to human being, because animals walk on fours and the humans walk on two, so you might think that it's tamei. The Chassam Sofer writes, why doesn't it just say chalav adam? So he says because the pasuk says, when it describes the kashrus of different animals, v'kol holech al arba, and a person is not holech al arba. So even though, meaning all the rules of Simani Tara are only for holech al arba, everything about Mafras Parsif, you know, all those rules of split hooves and chewing its cud, all of that, it starts with the statement that these are the rules for holech al arba. But a human being is not subject to those rules because we're holech al shtayim, we're not holech al arba. So that's what the Chassam Sofer says, why the Gemara Dafka wants to highlight not chalav adam, but chalav mahal cheshtayim, but milk of mahal cheshtayim. Turn to Mima in Vayikra Perkid Aleph in Ha'aretz, writes that the reason they want to be matir, that the reason it says chalav mahal cheshtayim is to be matir even chalav goyim, because the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, it couldn't say chalav adam, because the Gemara tells us that atem kriyim adam and einu masolim kriyim adam. So chalav adam might have excluded non-Jewish human milk. So we're trying to show over here that all human milk is kosher. So yachli yechal v'alcheshtayim tameh, you might have thought that human milk is not kosher. V'dinhu, and you could have made a compelling argument to that effect, because you could have said, ma behema shei kalta b'maga'a, an animal where you're makel that it's not mitameh, if you touch an animal that's alive, you don't become tameh. Yet ichmarta b'chalba, yet there are animals that produce non-kosher milk. You have a non-kosher animal, its milk is also non-kosher. Adam shechmarta b'maga'o, a human being who could be mitameh you even while the human being is alive. Zav, zava, nida, yoledes, all of these types of tumah are while the person is alive. So in a certain sense, a human being has much higher levels of tumah. Eino din shetachmir b'chelbo, I would think for sure we should be machmir with the milk of the human being. The Rashba quotes other ways of understanding this comparison between a human being and an animal with regards to tumah. Not only like Rashi said, that it's about whether they are mitameh tame while they're alive. The Rashi quotes Rav Meir Chananel that the kula by a behema is that if you touch, if it touches tuma, it's not able to be metame other things. As opposed to a person who touches tuma becomes tame enough to be metame other things. Or, for example, even while it's dead, an animal that's dead is a nevela, which is metame a person tumas erev. A human being that's dead is a navia vosa tumas, a mace. It's metame another person tumas shiva. So there are all these, or someone's nogea b'nevela is a rishon, someone's nogea b'adam is an avatuma. So you have all sorts of strict of ways to look at it, that a human being's tuma is stricter than an animal's tuma. And that's the point. If a human being has a stricter level of tuma than an animal, so I would think that that a human being's milk should be tame just like an animal. Non-kosher animal's milk is tame. Sayinu din shetachmer b'chalbo, so tamalomer. That's why the pasuk has to say when it asers the camel, when an asr is eating a camel, it says, es hagamo ki mala geira hu. So we darshan the word hu tameh vein chal malchishtayim tameh l'tohar. That it is tameh, the camel is tameh, but the milk of a human being is not going to be tameh, it's tohar, it's kosher. So yachal otzias hachal of she'enu shav bakal. I might think that I should exclude chalav of anisha from the yisra of chalav behema tameya because the yisra of chalav has a kula in that chalav is not shav b'kol. Not all milk of all animals is not kosher. There's milk of cows are kosher. Goat milk is kosher. Water buffalo milk I just found out is kosher. A Talmud of mine said, Rebbe, is water buffalo milk kosher? So I asked the OU. They said yes. He said, okay, I'm bringing you a bottle of water buffalo milk. He brought me a bottle of water buffalo milk. I said, no, thank you. He said, it's very good for making mozzarella cheese. I'm not making mozzarella cheese. Okay, v'lo otzias adam, and so I should not exclude from the yisra of achilas dam behema, dam adam, shu shava bakal, because dam is an yisra that applies to all animals. So I would think dam of a person is also b'achila. Tamalomar, who tamei ve'ein dam mahal cheshtayim tamei el tar. That even dam adam is mutar b'achila. V'amar av sheshes hafilu mitzvah prisha ein bo. Even nisra midrabanan by chalav and dam of another. And it's not even nisra midrabanan. So therefore, we have a kasha. How could Rav Lozer say in the Braisa that if a human being over the age of 24 months old is yonek from human milk, then it's ko'ochel sheket? Over here, we have explicit that dam adam and chalav adam is perfectly kosher. So says Mar lo kasha. Hadaparish, hadaloparish. The difference between milk that's kosher and milk that's not kosher is whether you're taking it straight from the woman's body or it's in a cup. If it's separate from the woman's body and it's in a kli, then it's mutter even midrabanan. It's perfectly kosher. But if one is going to nurse directly from a woman after the age of 24 months old, that's considered kionik shekets. That's considered entirely inappropriate and as if it's not kosher. That's the difference. And says the Gemara, it happens to be by dam, we have a similar distinction just in the reverse. V'chilufa b'dam. We have the opposite when it comes to dam. K'detanya, dam shal gabe kikar. If you have blood on a loaf of bread, so gorerova ochlo, you need to scrape it off the bread before you eat it. You're not allowed to eat such dam, even if it's human dam. Shebena shinayim, but blood that's caught between your teeth, you could just suck it out from between your teeth and you don't have to worry that you're violating the issue of eating dam. And you go to the dentist and you have blood in your mouth from dental work or something like that, you don't have to keep on spitting it out. You don't have to worry that you're violating any issue of eating dam, because dam is really kosher. The only reason you're not allowed to have it when it's in the cup is because of marasayin. It's going to look like you're eating dam behema, which is going to be absolutely usher. But when it's in your teeth, there's no issue of maris ayin. Now, the problem is that the Gemara tells us...
Is meat of a human not kosher?
Meat of a human is an interesting discussion also. Meat of a human is not kosher. Question is, what level iser is it? It could be that meat of a human is an iser essay and not an iser los essay, right? That's the old question, that if a waiter comes and serves you nevela, is it better to eat the nevela or better to eat the waiter, right? So the meat of the nevela is a los essay. The meat of a human could be that it's only an iser essay, that it's not a los essay. It's an interesting discussion. This comes up in the following case. There's a tshuva in one of the achronim that discusses the Habsid Ramah Paskin's Basar Adam is Asr Minat Torah. meaning there are those that hold it's only Asa Midrabbanan. The Ramah passing is Asa Midrabbanan, but probably only in Isser Essay. So the Sefer Kol Eliyahu was asked whether it's mutter for a woman to eat the orla of a tinok after the mila, because that a Kabbalah, that it's a segula for an Isha Akara, that she's going to be able to have children if she eats the orla of a tinok. So he has a whole machlokas aposkim about it, and he says he can't be machliya, it's too big of a machlokas. And they quote from a Tshuvas HaRashbash, Siman Tav Kuf Yud Ches, that it's an issue to do it, but it's an issue to do it because you're not allowed to eat basar adam. So the question is it only an issue of maris ha'ayin or something else? But anyway, that's the discussion. And maybe it's not considered derech achila because the minhag was that they were boleya the orla, an unusual minhag. I don't think people are still knowing that minhag. But yeah, cannibalism is us. You heard it here first. You're not allowed to eat human beings. Okay, so says the Gemara. So you would think that motz of it, so when it comes to blood, you distinguish between blood that's stuck in between your teeth that you're sucking on and blood that was out in a kli that you're drinking from. That the latter is us, or the former is mutter, because it's not going to be a maris ha'ayin. So the achronim are all bothered. What do you mean it's not going to be maris ha'ayin? We have a klal in hilchus maris ha'ayin. The Gemara Masechta Shabbos, Masechta Beita, elsewhere tells us that kol makom sha'amru shasru chacham misha maris ha'ayin afilu l'chadri chadarim aser. Anytime the chacham say that something is also misha maris ha'ayin, you're not allowed to do it even in private, even if nobody sees you. So how can you say that, oh, it's a maris ha'ayin issue if the blood is in a cup? But if it's in your mouth, since no one sees what's going on in your mouth, that's not a maris ha'ayin issue. So the Shaar HaMelech explains that the reason it's also afil b'chadrei chadarim is that you're never alone. It's never really b'chadrei chadarim. You think that nobody's watching you, someone's going to storm into the room unexpectedly and someone's going to catch you and they're going to see you violating the issur. That's why b'chadrei chadarim is asur. But so we have to view it as if you're always in public, as if there are always cameras watching you. But if it's inside your mouth, no one would see, even if you were in public, that you're eating the blood. And that's why we wouldn't apply that principle of afil b'chadrei chadarim aser when it comes to that kind of maris ha'ayin of the blood. So this is how we pass on the maisa. The person gets dental work in their mouth. They're allowed to, you don't have to be spitting out blood the whole day. You can swallow your saliva, even though there may be blood mixed into your saliva. It's an interesting shayla. I once went to the dentist, I think we discussed this once in shul, and he took blood out of my arm, and he said, okay, we're going to put this in your tooth now, because it helps the healing of the, it wasn't just a regular dentist, it was like I was getting dental surgery, and he said, this helps with the healing of the bone graft or whatever. I don't know, something. So that's interesting. Shaila, they're already taking blood, but they didn't put it back in as blood. He put it through this machine, and it was white when he put it back in. It didn't look like blood anymore. So the whole issur is only Adam Adam, is only Mishamaris Ayin. It doesn't even look like blood anymore. Maybe it was a Panam Chadashas Ba'olukan, that it's not considered to be Dam. So that's Dam, a fascinating discussion. Okay, so now as far as Halach Lamaisa, Amar Mar, Rabbi Yeshua, Amar Afilu Arbav V'Chamesh Shanim. Rabbi Yeshua said, even 4 or 5 years old, the baby could still nurse. Va'atanya, Rabbi Yeshua, Amar Afilu Chavilos Al Ksefav. Rabbi Yeshua said that even if he's working, even if he's schlepping around packages, sounds like much older. Says, well, no, Yidi Chach Yuruhu. Kids could be put to work at a very young age. They could already be schlepping, helping with the sukkah and this and that. So already at 4 or 5 years old, depending on how strong they are, that's the same shear as Chavilos Al Ksefav. Amar of Yosef, halachuk Rabbi Yeshua, that we pass on the Rabbi Yeshua up until 4 or 5, it's mutter, as long as you were not mafsik in between, as long as you didn't stop nursing in between. Discussion of the Rishonim, what does it mean, stop? How long did you have to stop for? So the assumption is 72 hours, may ace la ace, that would be considered stopping to have nursed in between. So says the Gemara, Tanya, Rabbi Marinus Omer, once we have the Rabbi Yosef paskening like Rabbi Yeshua in this brisa, we're going to quote 2 other brisas where Rabbi Yosef paskens like the Tana that's quoted. So Rabbi Marinus Omer, Goneach Yonek Chalav B'Shabbos, if a person is ill and the refuah is to have goat milk, so he could suckle from the goat on Shabbos, but he can't you can't milk the goat for him. My time, Yonek Mefarik Lachar Yad. If he suckles directly from the goat, that's considered to be a violation of dash of mefarik, but it's kalach riyad, it's with a shinui, and therefore it's only asum mitrabanan, ubemakum tzara lo gozer rabanan. If the person is suffering from this ailment, so because he's bitzar, the rabanan weren't gozer in such a case. Rabbi Yehuda holds that the isur of disha b'shabbos is even shalom b'gidulei karka, and that's why it would generally be an isur of dash to take milk from a goat. But according to the rabanan, Tosfos points out, according to the rabanan, that ein disha elu b'gidulei karka, you don't need this reason. It's not going to be a violation of disha anyway, because the goat is not considered to be gidulei karka. That's at least how Tosfos understands. So I'm Rav Yosef, halach Rav Merinus, and Rav Yosef says, yeah, we pass on Rav Merinus. And then a third brisa, Tanya, Nachum ish galya omer, tzinor sha'olu bo kashkashim. If you have a drain pipe that drains the water off of your roof, and there's grass growing in there, so it's clogged up, and now your roof is going to have a buildup of water, it's going to leak into your house, it's going to be a mess. So mimachan, and it's Shabbos, so mimachan baragla betzina. You can use your foot to clean out the grass that's growing in your drain pipe. B'Shabbos, even though it's Shabbos, even though normally you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos, it would be makom b'patish. Beinu choshesh, you don't have to worry that it's a violation of even an isur d'rabbanan. My time, why is it that you're allowed to do that? Misakin kalachar yadhu, that you're doing tikkun kalachar yad, because it's not the normal way to fix it would be a daim, and you're doing it paraglayim. Or makom seidel gaz v'rabbanan, when your whole house is going to get ruined, the rabbanan would never go there on such a tikkun kalachar yad. Amar Rav Yosef, halacha k'nachum mishgalia, that we pass like nachum mishgalia. Okay, so now we go back to the discussion about nursing. So Rabbi Yeshua said 4 or 5 years. So Pirish Lachar Esrim Varba Chodesh V'Chazar Kiyonik Shekes. But we said that if after the age of 24 months old, the baby stops nursing and then goes back to nursing, even Rabbi Yeshua says that's a problem. Vikama, so, oh, it wasn't Rishon, the Gemara said, I forgot. Vikama, how much time does it have to stop nursing for and then go back to nursing for it to be considered kolchal sheketz? Am Ravi Debar Chaviv, Am Shmuel, Shloshe Yamin. That it's 3 days that it takes for the baby to have stopped nursing where it becomes usher to go back to nursing. The Yushanli comments that 3 days means me'es la'es, that it means 72 hours. Sometimes you have days and we count in mitzvah yom kikulo or things like that, so we don't have that over here. 3 days means that it's 72 hours. And the Rishonim point out, but if the baby didn't nurse for 3 days because the baby was ill or something like that, that's not considered to be poresh. Poresh means that everything was normal, everything was healthy, and the baby's still, and you stop nursing the baby for 3 days after the baby's already 24 months old, then you don't go back to nursing. So the Gemara brings another Lashon, Ikad Amri, the same Pesach Halacha, but just slightly different, that Rav Yehuda Bar Chaviva didn't say it in the name of Shmuel, but rather, Tani Rav Yehuda Bar Chaviva, Kamei de Shmuel, that he taught the Braisa in front of Shmuel, not in the name of Shmuel, Shloshe Yamim, that the din is 3 days. 3 days is the shiur of how much time the baby would have to go without nursing for it to be considered Yonik Sheketz, to go back to nursing. So now the Gemara discusses when may a menekes get remarried. A woman is nursing a baby and she wants to get married. She's no longer married to her husband. So is she allowed to get remarried? Tanra ban menekes shemes baila. If her husband dies, betochas me'arba chodesh, when the baby is less than 2 years old, hareza lo tisareis velo tinase. She can't have erusin, she can't have nisuin, even though be'erusin, she's not going to be living with the new husband yet, so we're not going to have any chashash. But nevertheless, they said no marriage ad esrim arba chodesh, until the baby is 24 months old, because that's the amount of time that the baby needs to nurse. Divrei Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda mati b'shmona asur chodesh. Rabbi Yehuda says 18 months old is plenty. Amar Rav Nosson bar Yosef, hein hein divrei Beis Shammai, hein hein divrei Beis Hillel, shebei Shammai om esrim arba chodesh, Beis Hillel om shmona asur chodesh. That this machlokas, Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yehuda, is already a machlokas between the Beis Shammai and the Beis Hillel, and Rabbi Yehuda is aligned with the Beis Hillel. The question of whether a baby needs 18 or 24 months to nurse, Chassam Sofer writes, is not a question of metzius. L'kuli amar, rov tinokos are perfectly fine with 18 months, and a miyut tinokos are need 24 months, and the machlokas is